Hello everyone, welcome back. I'm Shu Allegra. If you're new to me, I'm the founder of Grace and Hope Consulting, where we empower people to achieve mental and emotional wellness, reach their full potential, and live fulfilling lives. Everything we do evolves around resilience. You probably heard that already if you watch the show or follow us on social media. So about that topic of resilience, I am inviting new friends to the table to kind of talk about their story and who they are, what they do, and how they find resilience and how they're sharing it with others. So as they share their story, we can glean from their wisdom and apply in our own lives. So today I have Ben with me. Welcome, Ben.
Thanks, you for having me on.
Yeah, thanks for being here. Do you want to just get us started? Like, let us know who you are and where you're joining from.
I live in as far south in Pennsylvania as you legally can get without a Maryland zip code. And it's a very rural area. I moved here over 30 years ago to work for Maryland Department of Agriculture, retired, started writing books. But part of the reason with the resilience of what actually jump-started me into writing books. But I'm busy writing, and I'm also a beekeeper. I teach beekeeping classes. Wow. And have bees myself. So I mentor quite a few people with the beekeeping sideline as well.
Nice. Wow. Yeah, I love pure honey, but I cannot picture myself trying to go through that process and making my own. So when people talk about bees, I could see, I'm like, oh no, I'm too scared. So thank you for doing that, taking care of them so that, all of us can benefit from it.
It takes a level of craziness to be able to stick your hands in a hive of bees and not be too worried about it, but.
Yeah, I have a friend who said, it's for the love of honey, for the love of honey. It's like, that's what you put in your hand, that's what you say. I'm like, no, money's for the love of the honey. I'm going to the store and getting it there.
Or better yet, go to a beekeeper that you can support them by getting theirs. But I love it. Bees actually have taught me so much. There's so many parallels in them, but I haven't written a book on just that yet, but I might.
I was going to say, that sounds like a really good book, what the bees taught me, something along those lines. Not to be that tough, but that, title, but definitely, then we will definitely want to have you back and tell us where you learned from the bees.
Okay.
Yeah. So talk about, the resilience piece. So you said that's kind of what got you to writing. And so I didn't know if you want to just kind of unpack that for us.
Yeah, I'll do that quickly without getting into too much details, but I'm a double cancer survivor.
Wow.
And 20 years ago, I had adenocarcinoma in my upper sinus passage, and it was pretty serious. It was pretty life-threatening, and it was followed up with 130 radiation treatments to my face, and that pretty much puts a halt to everything. You get consumed with getting over that. Then you get to your five-year cancer-free anniversary, or as I call it, a cancerversary. And then several years later, it's actually 6 years ago, I had my second cancer. And it's not as easy to handle it as people would think, just because, oh, well, you've been through this. Each one is different. Each diagnosis is kind of a tough pill to swallow. And my second cancer was a prostate cancer. And the hardest part, Shu, was the 4 months wait between diagnosis and surgery. That's an eternity.
Yeah. And so that's what I've been hearing from a lot of folks. Yeah.
And if you don't have the mental focus, and I truly believe half the battle of beating things like cancer is having the right mental focus. If you let that consume you, then it allows your body to weaken and cancer can take you. And so probably about 3 days after the second diagnosis, I felt I needed to find something to fixate on that's a positive, something good, something that isn't. So whenever I would feel sorry for myself, or, I would wonder what the future's going to be like, because cancer does change things. I like to say that cancer doesn't define me, it refines me. It makes me better, not bitter. And so I decided to start writing. And my writing has nothing to do with my cancer. It's just I wanted to write years ago, but life is busy. Five kids, my wife homeschooled, I'm busy working, volunteering, church, everything. And then you get this life put on hold thing. So I started writing, and that became my therapy for my second cancer. My first, if I backtrack, my first cancer therapy was, and Shu, this is going to sound strange to people that don't have cancer or don't want it, but I was thankful that I got cancer. I was thankful because it was me, not my wife or my kids. Mm-hmm. If it was them, I don't know what I would do. What parent wouldn't say I'd trade places with you? That was my therapy. Wow. That wow. I had it and not them. That meant, you know, I had to bear the all the issues. And then the second one came, and I decided that writing was going to serve. The paper and pad next to my bed at night was there. So if I would wake up and worry, then I would write. And so I really think that helped me focus on there's more to things than just me and my life. There's a bigger world out there that God's involved with. And so how can I use this 4-month period to the best of God's ability, not just my abilities. So I started writing what was something I wanted to write 20 years ago. And finally I had scraps of paper, notes, things, notes that a pastor thought I was taking of his message. And it was something.
You were writing your whole different sermon down there.
I was writing something that was sticking it back in my Bible, and gathered all those. And I started writing, and God has blessed that journey beyond what I could ever imagine.
Wow. Thanks for sharing that. And you said so much in such a short time. I'll come back to a few of those things you mentioned. So back to the idea of cancer not defining you, but refining you. And I totally, hear you and I agree with you. I think it starts, like you're saying, kind of that mindset, right? You know, having that mental toughness per se, and making that decision that, no matter what I'm facing right now, this is not the end of me. This is not, that's a defining, it's not who I am. It's what I'm going through. And using that, then, allowing it to refine you, like you said, and find other ways, benefit from the experience, although very, 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 challenging.
Yeah. And It may be, not everybody comes out of cancer.
And true.
There may be an end to it. And, this also doesn't make sense. But going all the way back 20 years ago, in the last 20 years, the very best night's sleep I had was the night before 10 and a half hours of surgery.
Wow.
I had my first cancer. I felt at peace. If God was to take me home, my spiritual bags were packed and I was ready, but I wasn't not. Wow. Giving up, that there's a difference. And if that was in God's will and his plan for me to be taken home, then no better place than to be in heaven and with the Lord. But he chose otherwise, and he had something. And, when Abraham in the Bible had to be reminded a few times that he was supposed to go to the promised land. He was supposed to go in one direction and he would go in other directions. And I look at that second cancer as God kind of giving me, hey, I have a book for you to write. That book spurred off into another book and spurred off into another book. And now I'm doing some contributing writing for other publications. So, just like I said, the blessings beyond that, whenever you don't know what's beyond that surgery date, but if you're faithful and if you're trusting in something more than a doctor or medicine, then I really think then God will honor that. And he has.
Yeah. So true. And I think that's kind of where I was going with, the decision, make the decision that the situation will not, define you. And even if they're not going to be the end of you, because like you said, we were building something bigger, even if a mortal body, these bodies are no longer here, we know that's not the end, and you see kind of the bigger blessing in, you know, in disguise per se, in spite of what you're going through. And so being able to say at the end, all things will work for my good, you know, and that it starts with your mind first, you kind of, you know, accepting that and then declaring that and then living it out, you know, no matter what the outcome per se looks like, you know, at the end, it's still positive. And again, it's very, you know, it takes a lot of work, and it's work that's built before the crisis.
Right.
Like, if you didn't have that before the crisis, you won't have that to withdraw from. You know, I often say it's almost like, you know, a bank account. You have to deposit before you can make the withdrawal. Otherwise, you go in the red, and then your bank will not like you. You might not like them afterwards when they start charging you a student balance fees, right? So it's the same thing. Because you built that before. You built that faith. You built that, you know, the endurance, that perseverance before you need it.
Yeah, you can't rely on a Kickstarter funding. You know, I'm so thankful. There's so many people through both cancers that were praying for me out of the country. And the first cancer, I had 12 people fasting and praying on that day. And when the surgeon that's doing the surgery comes over before surgery and prays for you and lays hands on you, along with my pastor, then I thought, what better place can I be than right in the center of God's will? And there was nothing. There was nothing that I could do to get rid of it. My job was to lay on an operating table, lay on a table or a bed or in radiation, and I couldn't do anything to get rid of it. So it was a combination of godly people praying for me and godly surgeon and other people, the staff, that helped get through that. And the mentality, that resilience that you're talking about, is I think half the battle is if you're looking no further than my life's going to end, you've already defeated, and so it's a tougher battle. And so looking forward enough to know that there's life beyond the life that we know makes that, you know, not so scary, not so dangerous. But cancer is ugly. It's tough. But there's people, dear friends of mine, that lost their life to it, and others that have gone through it. And they are a good testimony by the life they lead, you know, from that. It's hard for me not to hear somebody has cancer. I can pray maybe deeper and harder for somebody than somebody that had never experienced that.
Right. Definitely gives us the deeper compassion when we go for those things. And as you were sharing with writing, kind of always been busy, you know, having the kids and no work, and it kind of took the back burner per se. I had a similar story for me. It was a stroke. It was not a cancer, it was a stroke. That then I had nowhere. I couldn't walk. I couldn't talk. But then I had time to write. Both funny and kind of, maybe not funny per se. It's interesting how sometime again, those things that, you know, we might think, oh, people will think that that's the end of me. My life is now never going to be the same. It's the same thing that God uses, you know, when we can no longer rely on ourselves, you know, that I have to rely on Him, you know, that what He uses then to, you know, to just show His glory. Because at the end, like you said, you realize it's not, you know, there's nothing I can do. There's nothing, you know, you can do this. You know, at the end of the day, it's just, okay, can I be obedient in this moment that might feel like suffering?
His mercies and His compassion are given to us each day. They're not given us in a month lump sum.
Right, right.
If I would have been told what all was going to happen, that first doctor's appointment, it would have consumed me. And so as each step came, okay, I can bite this chunk off and digest, chew and swallow. But, you know, God in His mercy allowed me to come through two different times, but using it to His glory and His benefit is, in my opinion, is especially as a Christian believer, the only way to come through a positive. When people ask, how are you doing? I tell them I'm living a dream, and that's what I'm doing. Every day should be considered a gift for anybody.
Yes. And when we go through tough situations like this, it helps us appreciate life a little more. You know, never take any second for granted ever again. Yeah. And you're right. Then at that point, you're truly living the dream. Even when you're sitting there just sipping coffee or tea or, you know, glass of water, it's like you have living the dream. It doesn't have to be something big. but right. just being, you know, that gratitude that comes from those hard places, you know, and that anchors all of us, you know, anchors all of us.
Yep.
And so if you don't mind, I'll shift a little bit towards the book. So I was surprised, and that, again, that's a proper word here, that you are now writing about cancer. So what do you write about, and why didn't you choose to write about cancer?
My life's always been around animals, growing up on a farm, getting an ag degree from Penn State University, working 32 years for Department of Agriculture. And so I've been exposed and experienced a lot of different animals. Mm-hmm. So my first book that I wanted to write before cancer ever happened was a book that I wanted my kids to see the science side and the scripture side, and what we can learn from all the animals in the Bible. And it's called All Nature Sings, and it's a devotional guide to animals in the Bible. And then out of that has spurred a children's series that's called Created Critters. And I have one with wings, Created Critters with fur, and working on another one.
Oh my goodness.
And now I'm writing, and Guidepost has several different books and devotionals. So I began writing for All God's Creatures in Guidepost, and then a new imprint that's coming out later this fall that's brand new for Guidepost. So it's just God directed me into writing, which I knew I wanted to write this one book, but never thought I'd write children's books and it's a whole different story of how the whole Guidepost thing fell in my lap. That was a gift from God as well.
Yes. Yeah. And after I say, when we say yes, you know, to God once, and then it becomes a little easier to say yes and yes and yes. But the more times we say yes, the more, you know, he brings opportunity for us to do more. Yep, you know, kind of being faithful in this little thing, that little still voice that said, maybe just do this. And then you venture that way, and then it opens up door to, you know, to doing more of it, or even more of different things. So that's amazing. Yeah, and thanks for writing that. And as you're talking, I'm like, I feel like I've seen or heard about the children's book. Now I have to figure out where it was. So yeah, I live in PA, and been in PA for about 18 years. And both of the churches that we attended, you know, in the past probably 16 years or so, are very, they have very, full libraries. And I'm not sure if it's a book we probably got from the library at church or not. And so I don't know. Now it's going to bug me where I heard about the book. But no matter where I heard about it, I'm just glad that now I get to meet the author. So thank you. Pretty cool. But you have to find that book and tell my kids, I interviewed this author.
and I wanted to make it clear that with my publisher, and they were on board with that, because they target homeschool and homeschool families for their books. I didn't want to make believe animal that wears clothes and talks. It just takes a characteristic of an animal and teaches how children can learn from that animal. And it gives a Bible verse. And even though animals with scales and tails and feathers and wings and fur are all different, they were all just like us. We were, you know, even more so, we were made in the image of God. And so that's the backbone of that. It's a little bit of science, but a scripture wrapped around, encased in scripture, and really nice illustrations from a personal friend of mine. So
beautiful. Well, thanks for all that you do, you know, and all the ways that you you are not wasting time, where you're taking, you know, making the most of every opportunity, you know, as they say. Yeah. And so now I guess gonna shift gears here as we close. I wanted to first know, what are you working on right now? And you already said the book about what bees taught you is not yet, you know, yet written. So what else do you have, you know, you're planning?
I have a couple bigger projects that would take, it's going to take some intervention from God for me to make the context for that. But I'm just pretty much stuck in this I want to write devotionals. I want to encourage people. And so I'm in that realm. But if I write a beekeeping book, it's going to be beekeeping on a shoestring budget because people spend way too much money than they have to. But I could write probably a devotional book just on bees if I focused on it. But to throw back to just a comment that about the children's books, in my Created Critters with Wings, my illustrator is also a beekeeper. She took one of my classes and we agreed that there's a hidden bee in every illustration. So the kids get to search kind of like a Where's Waldo kind of thing. And then there's a hidden mouse in all the ones that Created Critters with Fur. So that makes it fun for the young kids.
Definitely, definitely. Oh, that's pretty neat. Yep. That's neat. Now I really have to look for that book now. That's really neat. Wow. That's, yeah, just the creativity there. And those will be things that someone would not pick up immediately as they pick up the book, right? You know, they wouldn't think about it, but it's nice that you kind of add, you know, some special things in there just to make it unique.
Right.
Yeah. Awesome. So where can people connect with you? Where can they find you and how can they connect with you?
Probably if they look up and want to connect with me, Ben Cooper on Facebook. I have a Ben Cooper author speaker page. That's basically it, Ben Cooper author speaker, and they can connect with me there. The books that I have, they can get directly from me if they want, but they can get it from books, any of the major bookstore, Amazon and Books A Million. The easiest way to get a hold of me is probably my email address, and that's Cooperville, Cooperville, at AtlanticBB.net, and that's changed to Breezeline.net, but either of them will work. I kind of live on Facebook. I'm one of those people. Authors are supposed to build platform and get people to follow, and so that's where I spend a lot of my time. And I really appreciate you having me on, Shu. I really do.
Definitely, I'm so glad that we connected and that, you know, we got to do this and kind of share, you know, about you and your work, and, you know, also just how you build resilience and how, you know, all of us can find it for sure. Yeah, thank you for being here, Ben. And for everyone, we'll share the link so that you can get his books. And then I have a question about, you know, by my honey. So if I want to get pure honey from you, I guess I'm going to email you about that.
Yeah, you live in Pennsylvania and you know what it was like last Monday and Tuesday. We had 7 inches of snow here. While my fruit trees are in bloom, and that's not working out real well. So I have no idea. It'll probably be the end of May, middle of June before I start getting any honey this year. But I have 11 hives.
Wow.
Last year they produced a lot of honey. This year we'll just have to see, but
yeah,
you'll have to connect with me.
Definitely. Well, thank you again for being here.
You're welcome.